in radio and television. It's RCA all the way. The Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Magic Key turns. 103 leading radio stations from coast to coast in the United States, in Canada, Cuba, and Hawaii are linked in one network to bring you this program in the interest of the family of RCA, whose members include RCA Victor, RCA Institutes, Radio Marine, RCA Communications, and the National Broadcasting Company. Today, the Radio Corporation of America presents Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, speaking from Washington in a two-way interview with Linton Wells in New York. The sensational new tenor of the Metropolitan Opera, Carl Hartman. The popular rhythm stylist, Joan Edwards. And Frank Black, who opens the program conducting the Magic Key Orchestra in the Andalusian dance, Ritmo, by Manuel Infante. Thank you. Last Sunday, we had hoped to share in Madame Kirsten Flagstad's joy as she talked with and listened to her sister, Karen Marie Flagstad, singing from Oslo, Norway. At the last moment, this reunion could not take place. As a pleasant surprise, we are delighted to welcome Kirsten Flagstad again today. Before we take you to Oslo, Norway, Madame Flagstad will sing one song in Norwegian for her loved ones at home. Madame Kirsten Flagstad.
My song is I Love You, sung in Norwegian by Edvard Grieg, with my accompanist, Mr. Edwin MacArthur, at the piano.
Kirsten Flagstad, famed the world over, is only one member of a famous musical family. Her father was an orchestra conductor. Her mother is perhaps the best-known voice coach in her native land. Of her two brothers, one is a concert pianist, the other a conductor cellist. Far away across the ocean in Norway, the musical Flagstad family has been listening to this program. Through the facilities of RCA Communications, Madame Kirsten Flagstad will speak with her sister, Karen Flagstad, noted lyric soprano in Oslo, Norway. Madame Kirsten Flagstad.
Hello, Oslo, Norway. I'm sending my greetings to my sister Karen Marie Flagstad, my whole family and my friends in Norway.
Hello, Kirsten. I'm so delighted to hear your voice in America, coming to me from across the ocean.
Tell me, how is my mother? And how are all the rest of the family?
Mother is feeling fine, and so are all of us. We are having a wonderful winter here, but we all missed you at Christmas.
I was sorry not at being home, but we had our Christmas here. I decorated our tree just as we do in Norway. And on Christmas Eve, just at midnight, I had a big thrill. I sang Holy Night over all the NBC stations. Did you hear it in Norway?
Too bad we didn't have the opportunity to hear you. We would have greatly enjoyed it. All the family want to know when you could be home again.
Not very soon, I'm afraid. You see, kind Maria, in May I travel to the other side of the world to sing in Australia. So this is perhaps the last time I will talk to you before my return.
Oh. In your letter you said something about Hollywood. Did you enjoy your trip there?
Very much, kind Maria. When I was there, I saw a preview of my part in my first picture in America. It is called The Big Broadcast of 1938, and I hope you will be able to see it in Norway soon. But tell me, what have you been doing lately?
I've just returned from London to sing in the operetta, Miss Cook of Holland, at the Chat-Noir Theatre here, and I expect to go back to London soon.
I've been watching your career, and I'm very happy about it. And I'm very proud of my young sister, Karen.
We are all very happy over here about your great success at the Metropolitan Opera. We read about your appearance in Tannhäuser.
Yes, and I want to tell you that the Metropolitan presented me with all new costumes before the performance that evening. They were so beautiful.
Hope someday to be present when you sing at the Metropolitan, Kirsten.
That would make me very happy too. But today, I want you to sing for me. Please sing my two favorites, the ones I've heard you sing so many times before.
With pleasure. The first is Dream by Grieg in Norwegian with Hans Terkel at the piano. Not Christian, and to all your listeners in America. Lisa Keel returns you to New York.
Frank Black, General Music Director of the National Broadcasting Company, brings you his own specially arranged fantasy on the Russian favorite, Dark Eyes.
Here, in brief, is the story of a family, the family of RCA. The Radio Corporation of America was founded in 1919. During the 18 years of its pioneering service, RCA has created a worldwide communication system between the United States and 42 foreign countries and with ships at sea. It has created a nationwide broadcasting system with direct services by shortwave to all the world. It has developed new instruments for the radio transmission and reception of sound, of code messages, and of facsimile reproduction. It has pioneered in the recording of sound on records and on motion picture film. It has developed countless radio devices necessary to modern science, industry, and to public safety. It has established the basis for a system of television, forecasting the day when radio sight will be added to sound as a public service to our country. Who owns the Radio Corporation of America? RCA is owned by nearly 250,000 stockholders in 48 states. No one person owns as much as 0.5% of RCA stock. RCA's achievements in the last 18 years are a tribute to the American tradition of service in the public interest through private initiative and ownership.
One of the most impressive additions to the roster of the Metropolitan Opera Company during this present season is the heroic tenor Karl Hartmann, famous throughout all Europe. Critics and opera lovers welcomed him after his recent Metropolitan debut, playing opposite Madame Kirsten Flagstaff. Today, the Magic Key takes pleasure in presenting to you, in his American radio debut, the Metropolitan's newest star, Karl Hartmann. Karl Hartmann sings first Winterstürme from the first act of Wagner's Die Walküre, in which Siegmund tells of his love for Sieglinde.
Dem wonne Mond in mildem Lichte leuchtet Land auf linden Lippen leid und lieblich Wunderleben der sich wiegt durch Wald und Auen weht sein Atem weit geöffnet lacht sein Und blühen wundige Blumen, Keim und Frost entspringt seiner Kraft. Mit zarter Waffenzier bezwingt die Welt, Winter und Sturm wicken der Fahrgen Meer. Wohl mussten den Tapfer streichen die Fränke dir, auch weichen die trotzig und stark aus. Trennte von ihm. Der Bruder, der Prinz liegt, was jäßig getrennt. Der Hoffnung grüß ich das junge Paar, der Reich sind Liebe und Leben.
Carl Hartmann brings us the song of Siegfried, delivered on stage while he is forging his famous sword.
National Broadcasting Company goes into 1938 with renewed confidence in the future, a confidence which is shared by the sponsors of the many fine programs designed to call your attention to the products of American industry. The great national advertisers as a group are planning more and finer programs to enlist your goodwill and support, programs which are made possible entirely by your friendship for the products which they feature. Your patronage means better business for the retailers, the wholesalers, and the manufacturers of the United States, in turn bringing that continuing prosperity which we all desire. The National Broadcasting Company pledges itself in 1938 to serve its listeners even better than in 1937, and in so doing, to increase its service to its advertising sponsors. We would like to thank you for your fine support in the past and to hope for its continuation during 1938. And may we remind you to listen for the familiar NBC chimes, your signal for fine radio entertainment.
Magic Key Turns, opening the door to a world of entertainment and brought to you by the Radio Corporation of America. Today, the family of RCA has presented a reunion in song between Kirsten Flagstad in New York and her sister Karen Marie Flagstad in Oslo, Norway. We are soon to present Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, speaking from Washington in conversation with Linton Wells in New York. A return appearance by Carl Hartman, that popular rhythm stylist, Joan Edwards, and Frank Black conducting the Magic Key Orchestra.
Joan Edwards, entertain.
Rhythm in my heart, la da da da.
The niece of Gus Edwards of School Days fame is in the studio with us today. Joan Edwards is fast making a name for herself as one of the smartest young women singers and pianists in radio. She's also unique in that she makes all of her own orchestral arrangements. Joan Edwards at the piano singing I Get a Kick Out of You.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you? Some like that perfume from Spain. I'm sure that if I took even one sniff, it would bore me terrifically too. Yet I get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to me you obviously don't adore me. I get no kick from a plane. Flying too high with some guy in the sky is my idea of nothing to do. Yet I get a kick out of you.
Joan Edwards picked an encore from the University of Pennsylvania's Mask and Wig show called Gypsy in My Soul. It's done in that different Joan Edwards manner.
Love to wander, it's just a gypsy in my soul. There's something calling me from way out yonder. It's just a gypsy in my soul. I've got got to give vent to my emotions. I'm only content having my way. There is no other life of which I'm fonder. It's just a gypsy in my soul. Just a gypsy, only a gypsy, a lonely gypsy.
Living in the White House at Washington is an American wife, mother, and grandmother whose life is bound by special ties to the very fabric of our country's welfare. Today, international amity seems more difficult of achievement than ever before. But this discouraging outlook has served only to inspire this distinguished woman, Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt, to express her sincere beliefs on the subject of world peace. The family of RCA is honored to present the eminent author of a thoughtfully written new book, This Troubled World. Speaking from Washington, Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt will discuss the question of permanent world peace with Linton Wells, Magic Key commentator in New York. The Magic Key turns to Linton Wells.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Roosevelt.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wells.
Mrs. Roosevelt, being realist, we know that suspicions and hatreds among nations have brought this world of ours to the verge of chaos. Now, as never before, rational men and women search desperately for ways to reestablish international concord and advance the cause of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. America is acknowledged to be the world's most peace-loving nation, yet we seem unable to inspire other countries to peaceful pursuits. Why do you think this has happened?
This answer is simple, Mr. Wells. The causes of war are varied. Sometimes nations find themselves in restricted areas with growing populations. They must expand. This means conquering their neighbors and obtaining new territory, if not actually nearby, at least some territorial possessions in a more distant land. Or nations lack raw materials. They are unable to produce certain necessary articles. And this drives them to war in order to control the sources of these materials, which they consider necessary to their existence. Hereditary fear of other nations, Mr. Wells, will force nations into a belligerent attitude, keep them constantly looking for trouble. This is good preparation for war, but certainly no way to ensure peace. In addition, internal conditions in nations can grow so bad that the people themselves will feel that life is so little worth living, they might just as well go to war, on the chance that they may improve their situation if they live through the war.
History most certainly is filled with shocking examples of such international conduct.
We are fortunately situated with enough land for our needs at present and an amazing amount of natural resources. We need comparatively little from other nations. We have few traditional fears. I think, Mr. Wells, we're a self-confident and self-reliant people, and on the whole, self-sufficient. Our fortunate situation, however, does not mean that we can persuade others to have the same sense of security that we have ourselves. And a sense of security is vital to a peaceful world. That is why we haven't been successful in making other nations adopt our own attitude. Their circumstances are different. They cannot very well see our point of view.
Mrs. Roosevelt, you have said that it is easier to keep out of situations which lead to war than it is to bring about peace once war is going on. We also understand that you've been asked to consider idealistic permanent peace plans without number. Undoubtedly, you must have evolved a plan of your own, which would safeguard the peace of the world if it could be sincerely tried out. Won't you please tell us about it?
Mr. Wells, in writing my book, This Troubled World, I stated that I thought there was no plan which could, at the present time, ensure peace. For we must have a real change in human nature as a basis for any permanent peace plan. I think, however, that we should work toward the getting together of representatives of different nations, either in sectional groups or in a central group. Gradually, nations will come to feel that they can bring their grievances and problems to these groups for discussion. In that way, they can get world opinion to help them solve their difficulties before they actually come to using force.
Granted that the present League of Nations has failed to maintain world peace, why do you think a reconstituted international body with a strong police force would be any more successful?
Well, Mr. Wells, the present League of Nations does not represent every nation in the world. And whether we like to acknowledge it or not, the fact that we are not in it has militated against its success. We are a strong and peace-loving nation and can, because of our position, hold to an objective and disinterested point of view. An international body which was truly representative and which devoted itself to research and discussion would be very helpful in preventing wars. It would have to be backed, however, by peoples who truly wanted peace and tried to exercise the kind of self-discipline and self-restraint and unselfishness which the maintenance of peace requires. A police force will be essential, I think, for a time in the world as a whole, just as it is essential in communities to enable us to restrain the elements which insist on the use of force in opposition to the will of the majority of nations.
Admittedly, the preservation of our civilization seems to demand a change in the attitude of humans toward each other, Mrs. Roosevelt. But this seems changing human nature. And how do you think that can be done?
By education and by spiritual growth. Admittedly, if all of us lived according to the doctrines of Christ, many of our internal problems would solve themselves as well as our external problems. But we are not accustomed to regarding questions that come up from the point of view of the Nazarene. It will take time to educate people to the realization that this point of view is an eminently practical one, which we were meant to live by.
Do you really believe, Mrs. Roosevelt, that people can be taught the meaning of brotherly love and be persuaded to practice it?
I do, Mr. Wells, most certainly.
We of the older generation know that there is no such thing as glory in war. But, Mrs. Roosevelt, how can we strip war of its aura of heroic fiction and convince the adventurous youth of our country that at best It is a useless struggle of destruction and extermination.
A gain by education and by an effort on the part of our generation, Mr. Wells, to keep before youth a real picture of war and the futility of the belief that wars have really settled the questions over which they were fought.
One final question, Mrs. Roosevelt. Is it your belief that the United States could restore stability to the world by maintaining its land, sea, and air forces on a basis of second to none on Earth?
Certainly not, Mr. Wells. No one nation can be arrogant enough to believe that if they build up a tremendous war machine, they will not have the same temptation to use it as other nations have had in the past. We, like other nations, must have adequate forces for defense. That has always been our aim and will continue to be the end that we have in view. Of course, this does not mean that any one nation by itself can achieve world peace by being the world's policeman. This can only be achieved by an honest desire on the part of all the nations concerned and by mutual cooperation.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Roosevelt, for the encouragement you've given us today. We sincerely hope that what you have said and written will aid materially in solving the problems of this troubled world. Goodbye, Mrs. Roosevelt.
Goodbye, Mr. Wells.
You have just heard Mrs. Franklin D. Roosevelt speaking from Washington in a two-way interview with Lynton Wells in New York on the subject of world peace, as discussed in her recently published book, This Troubled World.
Once again, the Magic Key takes pleasure in presenting to you, in his first radio appearance in America, the new tenor of the Metropolitan Opera Company, Carl Hartman. Carl Hartman sings for us the prayer from Wagner's opera Rienzi.
schwer. Das Tier zum Preis errichtet wird. Auch löse er die tiefe Nacht, die noch des Menschen Seele deckt. Hey, Mund, den Abgrund deiner Macht, hey, uns in
next to falling off a log, what's the easiest thing you can think of? Probably pushing a button. Well, pushing a button is the easiest way to tune a radio by far. As in the fairy stories of old, just push a button and there's your station. RCA Victor first introduced this storybook miracle to radio, and RCA Victor is first to bring you the genuine article at an all-time low price. A really, truly RCA Victor electric tuning console for only $89.95 FOB Camden, New Jersey. If you are up on your radio, you are aware that prior to the first of the year, the lowest price RCA Victor electric tuning radio sold for $150. And the thousands of RCA Victor electric tuning radios sold not only at that price, but for $175, $200 and up. So at $89.95, this new RCA Victor radio is one of the greatest values in all RCA Victor history. And here's a further piece of good news. Even at this low price, your RCA Victor dealer will extend to you the trade-in privileges, the low down payment, and the easy payment terms that make ownership of a genuine RCA Victor radio a matter of the utmost financial convenience.
Frank Black and the Magic Key Orchestra have just played the finale from the ballet music of Gounod's Faust. Members of the family of RCA, which includes RCA Victor, RCA Institutes, Radio Marine, RCA Communications, and the National Broadcasting Company, invite you to tune in at this same time next Sunday for another full hour of entertainment. At that time, you will hear the sensational French pianist, Madame Emma Bonnier, a two-way interview between Linton Wells in New York and Gilbert Redfern, foreign correspondent in Warsaw, Poland, the Victor Glee Club, a special radio sketch featuring Broderick Crawford, star of the Broadway success of Mice and Men, and his mother, that outstanding actress-comedienne, Helen Broderick, and Frank Black conducting the Magic Key Orchestra. Milton Cross speaking for all the services of the Radio Corporation of America.
And Ben Grauer saying that in radio and television, it's RCA all the way.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.